Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program on Health Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Join Dave and his guests now and every Tuesday at noon Pacific on Radio Star Worldwide as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day so you can live your caregiver life more fully and abundantly. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
Hey, from Los Angeles, a big LA, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land on this voting day. I hope everybody is out there voting today, Tuesday, the 8th of November. Wow, the year is almost gone. I don't know how that happens. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous Radio Star Worldwide Network. And yes, folks, I am the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. I'm laughing because if there was a word that was more difficult than I would use that word for caregiving. But I don't think there is one. Anyway, we have an exciting show planned for you today with my lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg from the Caregiver Space. Say hello, Adrian.
Hello. Happy National Caregiver Month.
Yes, and I'm back from my European cruise vacation in the Mediterranean, five countries, but we're not going to talk about that because caregivers get very jealous that they can't go on vacation, so we'll just forget about that. Today we'll be interviewing former model turned caregiver Linda Bice, who has an amazing story of survival. I can't wait to get to it, so stay tuned. You do not want to miss this show, folks. And if you're new to the show, we get many new listeners every week, especially since we've gone video. I am your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is to caregivers of every single kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers, we know many things, but the one thing we know is that they are caring and selfless and sacrificial and all those wonderful things. And oh yeah, they're also very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. And that's a problem because just like the airlines tell us, you know, in the event of an emergency, put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your loved one with their mask. And the airlines know this so well because they have seen people actually black out when you don't put your needs above the needs of your loved one. And guess what? Caregivers are exactly the same way. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects that it can have on us. It is like it automatically throws us into this thing called the grief process. Ouch. And unfortunately, folks, there's only one way out of the grief process. You got to go through it. You can't go around it, over it, under it. You got to go through it. Sorry. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like, you know, you're kind of stuck. Hey, I want to take this moment to thank my last week's guests, Brad and Mary, as they discussed what we learned the hard way about parental caregiving. You think caregiving is tough? Try caregiving your parents, both of them. And I know we've all done that on occasion. If we haven't, we will. Just be patient. Just a reminder, you can listen to that interview on our pod and videocast on my website, caregiverscaregiver.com. That's caregivers with an S and caregiver without an S.com. And while you're there, take our short quiz to see if you're a candidate for burnout. You know you are. And just for doing that, I'm going to send you my first book I wrote absolutely free. What a deal. All right, enough of that. Linda, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's going to be
why don't you
this
take
is
a
exciting
minute
for me.
And introduce yourself. Just who is Linda Bice?
And then I'm Linda Bice.
All my questions.
I just turned 58, and I've been my husband's caregiver for, it'll be 10 years next month on Christmas. Will be our 10-year anniversary of when this journey started.
Do you, celebrate those anniversaries? I know I do. I don't know why. Everyone thinks I'm crazy.
It's not that I celebrate it, but, like, I'll post something on Facebook, you know. It's, like, this year will be the 10-year anniversary of our journey that began in 2006. and I've had 158 nights of sleep in that time. So.
Wow. Yeah. You look great for 158 nights of sleep. I actually had a party for our 10-year anniversary.
Oh.
And I had a lot of people show up, and we watched the video that I made, and we had a great time because, you know, we were all optimistic that one day my wife would speak again and be healed. And it was just, you know, we're all people of faith. So that's what we did.
That's so cool.
Anyway, what else do you want to tell us about yourself before I start asking you some questions?
Well,
you have a son also.
Yes, our son is 23 now. He is our family's hero. I mean, this happened to his dad when
besides
he was,
you.
Yeah. Trammell was 13 years old when this happened to his dad. He was 14 when he became paralyzed himself.
Oh, wow.
And even when he was in the wheelchair, he was still helping me take care of his dad. I mean, he has never let up. And not only helping me, but he's the first one to step out and help others. You know, he is just... Well.
You know, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Let me introduce you to Adrienne. She is founder of the Caregiver Space, probably 160,000, 165,000. I don't know how many followers are following. It just grows by the minute. And she is an amazing person in her own right.
So
and
cool.
Ed, our engineer, who is silent. You can say hello to Ed. Ed? Well, we lost. Just never know if Ed's listening or not, you know. Oh, good. One day we're gonna actually see your picture, right? You're gonna like turn the camera on yourself instead of seeing this globe that says Radio Star.
I doubt it.
One day, okay. Anyway, tell us, Linda, what exactly happened to your husband on December 25th? Oh my gosh, December 25th, Christmas Day.
Christmas morning.
How does that affect your future Christmases also? You can answer that one later.
Okay. Well, on Christmas morning, 2006, exactly 9 months to the day from him having a massive coronary, and he had to have open heart surgery. But it was 9 months to the day that I woke up at 2:30 in the morning. And you know how when you wake up and it feels like you're in this dream? I woke up and I sat up in the bed and I looked over at him and his eyes were wide open. His mouth was wide open and his whole body was shaking. Of course, I didn't know what was going on. And I just reached over him and hit speakerphone 911. And I'm literally leaning over him, giving out the information. And as soon as I finished giving our address, he was dead. I knew he was gone because everything just stopped.
Wow.
And I'm literally crawling over him, jerking his pillows out from under his head. And I always say it was God that took over because I was not even thinking at that moment. I was doing CPR. It was just like it was just natural that I knew what to do. And I have no clue of what the 911 lady was saying because I was just so focused. And every time I was pumping his chest, I was screaming for Trammell. Trammell was asleep down the hall. And bless his heart, he thought I was trying to wake him up for Christmas because it was Christmas morning. So he wakes up, and I'm just screaming, run downstairs and turn on the light. EMS is on their way. And he didn't panic either. He ran downstairs, turned the lights on, came back up and picked up the receiver and started telling the 911 worker what I was doing. And so I just kept doing CPR, which seemed like an eternity. And finally, we could hear the fire trucks coming, and Trammell ran downstairs and showed him to the, you know, led him upstairs. And they got David and put him in the floor and hooked that machine up to him that just repeatedly shocks him. And by this time, Trammell and I are getting in the hall and calling everybody. And they worked on him for about 25, 30 minutes, and they couldn't get a heartbeat. And so they finally put him on a board, got him downstairs. And as they were... you know, going out, there was about six of them by then, and as they were all taking their equipment out, they were saying, we are so sorry. We did everything we could. And so to them, he was gone. Well, they got to the hospital. I remember it was pouring down rain.
So we talking where he was dead?
He was down. They worked on him for about 25 or 30 minutes. So, yeah. So we're talking. He was down a total of an hour and 20 minutes by the time they got him hooked up.
Were they giving him CPR?
They had that big blow thing.
Oh, so they kept the oxygen and the blood flowing.
Yeah.
Wow.
But they couldn't get a heartbeat. They would get it, and then it was gone. They would get it, and it was gone. So
when stop. That was good.
Right. So when they got him to the hospital, and this was something that we were not supposed to know. And I know it's been 10 years, so surely the girl working there would not get fired or anything. But one of the nurses brought me the actual file of what happened in the ER. That when the doctor ordered for the team to come down and put him on life support, it took them 40 minutes to get down there. So he laid down there. And the reason, I believe with all my heart, the only reason they put him on life support was, number one, it was Christmas morning. And number two, we were going to, you know, to donate organs. So when they got him in the room and he was on life support, and one of the nurses said to me, she said, you're going to have to make some serious decisions, you know. And so a few days later, they came in and they turned off the life support and he started breathing. So they turned it back on and they literally weaned him off of that. And after they got him completely off of that life support, the doctor stood at the foot of his bed and said, I want you all to know that this has absolutely nothing to do with us. This is God. Wow. There is no reason that we can give you how this man can be alive. And for a doctor to stand there and say, this is God, this is not us. So that's, but he was in the hospital, or I should say we were in the hospital for a month and brought him home as basically a newborn. He lost all memory back to the 70s.
Really?
He has short-term memory. He can remember 10 to 15 minutes, and then it's erased.
So he remembered from the 70s back and...
Right.
From the 70s forward, nothing.
It's just
so he didn't know who you were, that you were married.
No, yeah, he did not know who I was. Oh, no. when
it's
I
It's like that Goldie Hawn movie where she had amnesia and this guy was pretending to be her husband, but you were really...
Oh, that's right. I remember that movie. And you know, another one that we used to watch all the time was 50 First Dates.
Yes, love
Little
that.
Did we know that was like our training film.
Gosh. But,
yeah.
You're right. So, this is a movie, you know? Yeah. This is a movie in the making. So how did you handle... I mean, how did you tell him now, sweetheart, we're married? I mean, was he skeptical?
Well, just bringing him home was a big deal because we had to go right by the road that he grew up on. And when I went past that road and didn't turn in, he went ballistic. He was like, I thought you were taking me home. I thought you were taking me home. I said, I am. And he goes, you just passed my road. And so he was, by the time I got him to our home, which was about a mile down the road, a couple of miles down the road, he was almost in tears. He was so mad. He was so scared. And we pulled into our
driveway. He still didn't know who you were.
No. So we pulled into, I can't remember the name that he called me the first time, but I mean, it was just like, who in the world? So we get there and he wouldn't get out of the car because he said, I want to go home. I want to go home. And I kept saying, this is home. This is your home. So it was, you know, it was like that all the time. And we had some scary moments. I mean, like, driving down the road, and he goes to get out of the car, going down the road, because he, you know, at one point he thought that I had taken him to the doctor for one of his little checkups. So we left the doctor's office, and we're driving down the road, and he said, I thought I was going to the doctor. And I was like, we just left the doctor's office, and he goes into this ballistic thing going, I want to go to the doctor. So literally he opens up the car door going down the road. So I'm having a heart attack trying to get off the road, and I pull over and literally call the doctor back and have the doctor talk to him to calm him down, to tell him that he, but it's like over and over because it's like erased. Everything is erased.
How long did it take him? I mean, first of all, did he realize that he had a memory problem? How long did it take him to realize that?
Well, if you tell him that now, within 10 to 15 minutes, he has no memory that you've told him that. Mentally, he's like about
like a 10-second Tom.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. But
and it's still today like that?
He's like a child. And the weird thing is, from the time this has happened, this is 10 years that he has gone in cycles. He will wake up as a newborn. And I'm talking about change his diapers, give him his baby bottle. He snuggles up to his toys. He sleeps all the time. And over the, like, 4 to 6 weeks, he will literally go all the way to, like, what we're guessing is a preteen. And the preteen, oh, have mercy. Yeah. You can imagine. So I am, and I know it's terrible, but I am so happy when he wakes up that morning and he's a newborn again. Because the preteen, he is like a little butt, you know. So it's like you take him, or in those, like, you say, is your diaper wet? No, but he'll be soaked. You know, it's just that the attitude. But he will literally go in stages. And my favorite stage is like the 4 or 5 year old, because he likes to color and draw. We do arts and crafts and watching cartoons. Well, he watches cartoons all the time, but you know, it's just that fun stage.
How old is he?
He is, oh my goodness, I turned 58. He's 59. See, my memory's going. He'll be 60.
You are a saint.
Oh, thank you. Tired saint.
Adrian will agree with this. You know, we'll hear a story and we'll say, wow, that story's got to top. And then there's always a story that tops the story that we thought would top. What's your reaction to this amazing story, Adrian?
I want to know how you keep going.
You know what? I've
got 180 hours of sleep.
I always tell my son, you better be glad I'm hyper. Because there's no way. I've always been hyper as I'll get up, but that's a good thing for a caregiver.
But your attitude also is, you're up.
Yeah, I try to always be. Now, Trammell can tell you that there are times that he's like, especially I've been sick for a month, and he has heard me whine so much, it's not even funny.
Deserve wine. You paid your dues.
Every now and then, you should have a good wine.
But it's, when you get so tired and, you know, you're dragging and you feel horrible and you're trying to, because, you know, a caregiver is like a mom. There are no sick days. You can't clock out.
Ed, are you listening to this, Ed?
You bet I am. And you know what's funny is I went right to 50 first dates too when you guys first started talking about 10 second time.
We used to watch it all the time. Little did we ever dream. I didn't even know that kind of thing happened. You know, I'd never heard of that, you know, and to end up living that, or worse than, you know, worse than her, but that, you know, yeah.
Oh, Linda, you're amazing.
What do they call it?
Well, what he has is like the later stages of Alzheimer's, because like when we've applied for vouchers before, we got one through the Alzheimer's Association because he has that same mental problem, you know, with memory and dementia.
Despite his age. Can you
say it again?
Despite his age.
Right.
Yeah. He started a while ago, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was 49 when it happened. I was 48 and he was 49.
Okay, well, let me fast forward, because you says your dream now is to help other families. And you were telling me that you were able to save another family from becoming homeless exactly 1 year after your family's life was turned upside down. Explain that.
Okay. This was one of those things. Well, it started out, my family and friends thought I had lost my mind, because within 3 months of after this happening to David, I decide to lease our home and move us to Charleston, because I am the type of person that's, I've got to be near the ocean. I cannot explain to you why I need that
Me too.
Nearness to the ocean, but it's just something that I've always had. So I'm like, okay, we're going to move to Charleston. So,
well, yeah, you figure you deserve it. Absolutely. Yeah,
I literally start selling everything. I lease our home out and I move us to Charleston. Well, when we were in Charleston, they had a, what was that? The county, Dorchester County, had a thing. We were, as a matter of fact, this is how we were. Our home was in, Dorchester County. You go across the road to the mailbox, and that was Charleston. So we were right there on the border. So Dorchester County gave us a voucher for a nurse for 2 hours a day for 2 days a week. So this sweet lady, her name's Geneva. She came and would take care of David so Trammell and I could just get out for a couple of hours. And one day, it was right before Thanksgiving, it was the week of Thanksgiving, Trammell and I came back in, and she was on the phone, and she was crying. And when she hung up, I said, what's wrong? And she had just found out that the horrible place they were living, I mean, it was so bad that when I would take food over there, and I wouldn't let Trammell go. It was just that rundown and everything. It was scary. That's where they were having to live, and that place had been sold, the whole street, to be demolished and for condos to be built. They literally had to be out by the end of December. No money, no place. She was a caregiver. See, her husband came home from the Merchant Marines blind and in a wheelchair, and she was raising their four grandchildren with no help from the kids, you know, from her kids. So we... You know, after she left that day, you know, I looked at Trammell and said, we've got to do something. There's no way that we can let this happen, you know. So we just start. The first thing I did was I went through our home and I literally picked out everything we could live without. So then I contacted her. Well, I think the next day that she came, she was coming on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I said, I don't know why this was on my heart to move her to Greenville. I said, but would you object to moving to Greenville, South Carolina? And she said, I don't care where we live as long as we've got a roof over our head. And I said, well, let me see what Trammell and I can come up with. So I start contacting apartments and stuff like that in Greenville, trying to find something that was cheap enough, you know, that they could afford. And lo and behold, we ended up and had to go to Greenville. So I pile up David and Trammell and we take off to Greenville, and we start going to all these different apartments. And the funny thing was, Channel 7 wanted to do an interview on us. So we went to the Channel 7 studios. There was apartments right beside there that I didn't even, for some weird reason, didn't even dawn on me to look there, right? Because they were real nice. So I figured they couldn't afford that. So we start going, I picked up one of those books that has all the apartments. So we sit down at lunch and we go through it. And lo and behold, after going to several apartment buildings, we end up with somebody telling us to go to this certain address. We go to that certain address, and guess where that was? Right there beside where we were that morning, those apartments. So I go in there and we just literally sit down and talk to the manager and told her what we were doing. Guess what? She let us have a 3-bedroom apartment overlooking the swimming pool that was beautiful. No deposit. Start paying the first month. And I think she let us have the first month for half. So we went ahead. Yeah, we went ahead and paid for the first month. So we go home. And by this time, it's about the second week of December. And we go home and... I think we went and borrowed my mom and dad's trailer that they had that they hauled their motorcycles in. So we went back to our place in Charleston, and we literally went through and took everything out of our house that we could live without. Bedroom suits, extra furniture, extra dishes, anything. So we loaded all that up. The week before Christmas, we take off back over there to Greenville. We go into that apartment, and we literally camp out. David, me, and Trammell sleeping on the floor. And so we're taking care of David, and that's when my sister contacts a TV station. I think it was Fox Carolina. They came and did an interview. After that, it was like an outpouring of people donating furniture, dishes, food, clothes for the family, Christmas tree, Christmas decoration, everything that you would put in a home. We literally furnished that place down to the toilet paper and the toothpaste. You know, I mean, literally everything.
You are amazing. You know, if the world was more like you, we wouldn't need welfare. We wouldn't need aid. Listen, we need to take a break. We're overdue. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout. as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the caregiver's caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you and ultimately an investment in them. Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and tune in to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver radio program on Radio Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. With roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, it's about one-third of the population. That means everybody probably knows somebody caring for a loved one. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Mothers of special needs children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases, the list goes on. Join Dave and his guests every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific on Radio Star Worldwide as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. You'll start feeling better in no time as you begin to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help you get through the day and to live life more fully and abundantly.
And we're back with Linda Bice and Adrian Gruberg. Amazing story. Let's shift gears a little bit. Your son had an infection that caused him to be paralyzed in his feet, and yet something has happened, and now he can walk. Tell that story, and then after you do that, explain how do you do this? How do you go the last 10 years not only caring for your husband David, but also your son Tramel, paralyzed in a wheelchair for several years? How do you do it and survive on 152 nights of sleep in 10 years? If you can, that's a loaded question.
Well, after that Christmas, Trammell worked so hard. I mean, I couldn't have done it without him, you know, helping that family and doing, oh, have mercy. Yeah, all that. And then February the 3rd, which was Super Bowl Sunday of 08, a month and a few days after that happened. Oh my God, after we saved that family, at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, I was in the bedroom changing David's diaper, and Trammell came in the house. He ran up the stairs and he was cleaning up his game room because his friends were coming over to watch Super Bowl. And about midway into changing the diaper, Trammell hollers, "Mom," and I'm busy and I'm hollering back, "What?" And he says, "My back." And I'm like, "Did you hurt it?" And he goes, "No, it just hurts." And I said, "Well, hang on a minute and I'll get you some Tylenol." You know, never dreaming in a million years what was happening. By the time I got the diaper changed and I'm walking through the door into the hallway, that child is in the floor and he's saying, "I can't feel my legs. I can't feel my legs." And it's like, you know, that dream thing. It's like, this is not happening. And I saw our neighbors out the window and I raised the window and I just yelled, "Help, help. I need help. Something's wrong with Trammell." And so they came running over and I ran downstairs, opened the door to let them in. I came back and that child was dragging himself down the hallway, got him to the hospital, and they immediately called an ambulance to take him to MUSC. They got me back there. By the time I got David seated and I ran to the nurse in the lobby, and she said, "The doctor's hunting you." And I told her who I was and that they brought my son in. She said, "Yes, the doctor's hunting you." And so the doctor came out and he said, "Your son is paralyzed. We've got an ambulance coming to take him to MUSC right now." So it's like, you know, I get David back in the car and I take off down the road and I'm in downtown Charleston. I have no clue of where I am or where the hospital is. And I'm literally sitting at the red light. And I've got David beside me, left with no diaper bag, nothing for David, no food. I mean, just nothing. And I see a lady pull up beside us, and I just hit the thing and rolled down the window. And I just, she looked at me. And by this time, I had tears in my eyes. And I said, I need help. I said, my son's been paralyzed, and they're taking him to MUSC, and I don't know how to get there. And she said, follow me. You know, she took me all the way to the emergency room door. This, you know, God sends angels. He sends, you know, people to take care of you. And that's what that lady was. I wish I could find out who she was, because, I mean, I can't explain to her.
You can't. You know, she was an angel.
Yeah. I mean, she was. Literally. So we spent hours.
Chills up my spine.
I know. I am. I get chills. Every time I talk about this stuff, I still get chills. And so we spent hours in the MUSC emergency room with, and Trammell kept saying, this is just like House. You know, the show House, the doc, yeah. Yep. And it was, I mean, it was this team of doctors trying to find out how in the world does a perfectly healthy 14-year-old become completely paralyzed from the waist down in 10 minutes with no warning. You know, the only warning
was. They tried
was,
all these things on him that wouldn't work. And after the 12th thing, it worked. I mean, is that basically?
Well, no, they sent us home. Now, this was a really cool moment. One of the doctors, they were back and forth in there, and they were being so sweet, and they were getting food for me to feed David and diapers for me to, you know, change David. And one of the doctors, he came in and checked Trammell, and he started out the door, and he stopped, and he turned around, and he said, you know, we're all talking about y'all out here. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, we want to know how y'all are doing this. And we were like, doing what? And he said, he looked at Trammell, he said, son, you realize you're paralyzed. And Trammell said, yes, sir. And he said, and I see your dad and I know what happened to him. And they said, but we cannot get over the calm and the peace in this room. They said, it's just unbelievable, this the feeling that you get when you walk in this room. And I said, Trammell, tell him who's in charge. And Trammell's like, just nonchalant with a remote control watching TV. He goes, God is. And you know that I'll never forget that doctor turned around. He had tears in his eyes.
Does David walk?
Yeah, you can get him up to walk, but he has no earthly idea that he can get out of the bed. Even though physically you can stand him up and walk, you know, walk him. But even if the house was on fire, he would not know to get up out of that bed. Unless
it's a blessing he can walk, because you don't need to mess with wheelchairs and throwing him in the car and this and that.
Well, we do. We have a walker and we have a wheelchair, because if we have to go, like, at the doctor's office or whatever, go for an extended, you know, walk, he gets really weak. And he's done what we call the wet noodle, where he just hit the floor. But I've gotten to where I can see it in his eyes, and it's about to happen. And I will put my arms around him and just go to the floor with him and to protect him when he falls.
You know, so far you are my new hero. I mean,
yeah.
Just when I thought that you couldn't top it. Wow.
So has David come to...
And you're so humble about it, because you know where... It's not me.
Yeah,
and
it
I
is.
Say the same thing. It's not me.
If it was,
people
if
ask
it was
me all the
me.
Time, how do you do this? You know, and I just... You know, God just gives you the peace and the joy and the... And, you know, he's in charge and it's a new normal. And sometimes I forget that I'm not living a normal life, as I'm sure you do sometimes. So how did you calculate the 152 nights of sleep in 10 years? You did the math.
People laugh at me because I have kept record of every night. And every time this has happened, it's been a gift where somebody has said, okay, like for my birthday, y'all get a kick out of this. For my birthday, this friend of ours said, they own a condo down at Isle of Palms. She said, I want you to go. You and Trammell go there. It's a two-bedroom, two-bath condo on the beach. I want you to go and spend a couple of days and just rejuvenate, you know? So, and then we had, what was it? We had left on one of our vouchers, $100. So we've got this nurse that we pay her. If we stay in 24 hours, we'll pay her $100 for her to stay 24 hours. So, and then we also had a couple of volunteers that came in. So we're like, We got it all. And literally, it was a miracle how this all fell together. I mean, it was just this awesome miracle. So we drive down there, and we, you know, the first day we're unpacking, and I walk down to the beach, and it's just so wonderful. I can't even explain to you how it feels to, for my feet to hit that sand and that ocean. And so the next morning we get up and we go out to lunch, you know, and it's, we do, you know, my birthday lunch. So we go out and we have lunch, and we come back, and Trammell and I both go down to the beach because Trammell took this awesome picture of his guitar on the beach. So we come back to the condo, and I get a message from a friend of mine that says, Linda, I hate to tell you this, but I think you need to turn the news on. And I'm like, okay. So we turned the TV on, and it was our governor stating that there was a mandatory evacuation because of Matthew, Hurricane Matthew. So we end up then throwing everything back in the car. This was like less than 24 hours that we had been there. And it took us 6.5 hours to get home when it took us 3 hours to get down there. But anyway, it was short-lived.
And you're laughing as you tell us this story. You're not crying.
I know.
And Adrian, then any observations, Adrian? It's pretty quiet.
Well, it's quite a story. I have a question. It's more than different than an observation. Does David know you in the morning when he wakes up a baby every day?
Most of the time he thinks I'm his mommy. Mom.
But you're familiar to him. It's not as though he has to learn who you are every day.
Right. Over these years, he has just, you know, he thinks that I'm Mama. And then there's these glimpses that we get that he knows that I'm Linda. Okay.
Okay.
Well, one of those came, we just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, October the 6th, 3 days after my birthday. And I had this little miracle, because I go in there and I was fixing his lunch or getting him set up to eat. And I said, do you know what today is? And he said, Tuesday? I said, no, I think it was a Thursday. I said, it's Thursday. But today, I said, do you know who I am? And he said, and he looked at me like I'm crazy. And he said, yeah, you're Linda. So I said, do you know that I'm your wife? And he said, yeah. And I said, today's our 25th wedding anniversary. And he did his lips to kiss me. And I leaned over and we kissed. That was the first kiss I've had from him in 10 years. Because that doesn't, it was just, I've got chills from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. That was this amazing gift that God gave me that day.
Oh, yeah.
And see, and 10 minutes later, he didn't know. He, you know, I was back to mommy.
So there are moments of clarity.
Mm-hmm. It's very rare, but there are moments.
Wow.
And the first time that he had one of these, we call it a normal.
Yeah.
And it lasts about 10 minutes. The doctor had told us if he ever asked anything to tell him the truth.
Yeah.
Well, it was about 3 or 4 months after this happened. It was, I can't think, it was in March, and this happened, and he was talking to us like he was normal. And he started asking about his mama and daddy. And I told him, see, his mama, his dad, and two of his brothers have passed away over the years. But when I told him, it was like brand new.
Mm-hmm.
He was, of course, devastated. I mean, it just tore him all to pieces. And he was crying. And I called his brother, he's got a brother, Steve. I called his brother and let him talk to him. And he was asking him, is it true? And I mean, that was one of the most horrible experiences that we have gone through with him. And I said right then, I will never do that. When he has asked about his mom and daddy, when he's had these moments before, I always tell him that they're on a cruise, because they used to take cruises a lot. And I'll say, they're on the cruise. They'll be back next week, you know. But, yeah. And then when he goes through these psychotic episodes, that's very rare, maybe once a month, and that's the only time he will get up out of bed. And it's always at night. And it's always this, like, he's up. But when he goes through that, he's like about a 6 or 7 year old. He is terrified, and he is looking for his brother, Stan, that was killed when he was 19. And because him and Stan room together. And he is literally going through this house trying to find Stan. And that, yeah, he is inconsolable.
Got some crowns coming your way. I'm, forgive me for doing this, but I'm a numbers person. I'm an entrepreneur, and I did the math. And if you're not exaggerating, that means you are sleeping about 25 minutes per day for the last 10 years. Now, nobody can survive that. Are you exaggerating?
I'm up like every 3 or 4 hours. I used to get up every 2 hours all night. And then it's like going all day long. And then you hit the bed and you know I'd set my little timer.
A full night's rest.
Yeah. Full nights, not being woken up. As a matter of fact, somebody told me that one time they were talking about me having to get up every couple of hours, and they said, "Do you know that that's in some places that's torture? That's how they torture people, is wake them up and get them up, and have them."
Exactly.
Yeah. And
well, you look great for being tortured for 10 years.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
So probably the answer to the question, how do you keep so upbeat and never depressed? It's got to be God. Nothing
it is.
Else.
I've had friends
no other
say
secret
how,
besides that.
I've had friends say, "How in the world? How do you do this?" And I always say, "It's God, because if it was just me, I'd be crumbled up in a corner somewhere, going, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want. Can we play something else? I don't want to play this anymore." You know, I mean, literally, because the only way I can explain it is God. It's God.
Well, listen, we've got to take another break, and then I want to talk about, the last 15 minutes or so, what your dream is and what you want to do and how you want to do it. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is a touching story about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resembled that of both a Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. She met her husband Dave 21 years earlier. They had a wonderful fairy tale storybook-like courtship that soon culminated in their marriage. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left, finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn. She started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought them all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, their love then produced Rebecca. They all had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope that everything happens for a reason and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone that meets her. Best-selling author Lynn Barrington says, "If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story from the heart. It is inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light." 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch, says, "Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror." As the Bible states, you will be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through. Order your copy today from the author's website, onearmonelegonehundredwords.com. And Dave and Charlene will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy.
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg and our special guest, Linda Bice. Is your son there with you right now?
Yeah, he's sitting right over here.
Can we just see him, put him in front of the camera? And the question I wanted to ask him is, what's your opinion of your mother? I don't know.
He's leaning over.
No,
he wants
sit
to
down.
See you. Stick your head over here.
I'm fine.
He said, "I'm fine."
No, we want to see what he looks like.
Come on over.
Just I'm in my pajamas.
He's in his t-shirt and pajama bottoms.
Well, we can only see from there. We go. Good looking boy. So tell us.
I'll put this in this.
What's up with your mom? How are you surviving?
I have no idea. I've been trying to figure out what's up with her for years.
He keeps me cracking up. He literally.
But you seem to be just like her, like cut from the same cloth. No.
Mm-hmm. He's like.
I hope not.
Well, you're a great kid. How old are you?
23.
Well, you're not a kid anymore. You're an adult.
Man, now.
And I'm sure your mom's very proud of you. I know I am. Gosh, if we had more kids your age, as mature as you do. And unfortunately, you know, do we have to go through tragedy to be mature? I hope not. But it sure does help, doesn't it? You know, it gives us perspective on things. Perspective, yes.
He was, even at age 13, he was like, he was so intelligent and so mature, you know, for his age. But then when this happened, he had to become literally the man of the house and helping me take care of his dad. And then even when he became paralyzed, you never heard him whine. You never heard him complain. You never heard him, oh, I can't do that because I'm in a wheelchair. No.
Well, you've been given a great gift. God has obviously healed you enough to walk. And that's a rare thing. I mean, I believe in healing, and I pray for many people to heal. And God heals sometimes, and sometimes he doesn't. But very special story. And I know you're very appreciative, and he's given you that gift for a reason. So find out what your purpose in life is and go do it. He'll be with you, and he'll make you very successful in whatever you do.
I believe that. I have told Trammell since even before this was even in our minds that something like this would ever happen. As a matter of fact, I've told him his whole life that God has a huge purpose for him, that, you know, God's got a huge job for him. And it's just, I see it more and more now after all we've gone through.
Yeah. And when he does do miraculous things like heal someone, you know, where the doctors are scratching their head and say, say to us, you know, it usually means that he needs you to have so much faith. Because if you didn't have that faith and you weren't sure that you know that you know that you know, then you couldn't do what he wants you to do. Because not everybody has, you know, God gives everybody a little tiny measure of faith, you know. And, of course, the weird thing is it only takes a faith, the size of a grain of mustard seed to tell the mountain to move. I mean, you know, that just blows my mind. So, but apparently you've got more than us. So he's got a greater purpose for you. So don't ever lose track of who you are and where he wants to take you.
I believe that. He is an awesome guitar player. Ooh. And he builds guitars. He builds, oh, have mercy, you should see some of the stuff that he has created and works on guitars and teaches guitar. As a matter of fact, there is a wonderful newspaper article on our website that the Anderson Independent just did, where Trammell needed braces for his teeth. And he met this, we went to this doctor's office, Dr. Howell Lewis. And his story was he wanted to learn to play the guitar because his son, who was his son was about to make his first CD and died. And so Dr. Lewis, to honor his son, wanted to learn to play the guitar so he could play his son's music, the songs that his son had written. So Trammell and Dr. Lewis worked out a deal where Dr. Lewis gave him braces, put his braces on, and Trammell teaches him every Tuesday afternoon to play the guitar. And it's just...
I'm getting those chills.
Awesome. I know, I just did too.
Yeah.
But it's, and as a matter of fact, that's what Trammell's going to Peru in July, the month of his 24th birthday, and is going to be teaching orphans to play the guitar.
Oh my gosh! So you're already out there doing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Praise God.
God has a huge plan.
A great kid, and you raised him.
He is my hero. I mean, he is.
And for all those caregivers out there who are bitter and angry and, you know, whine, you know, attitude is so important. I say it every single time I speak to caregivers. You know, you can, that glass is either half empty or half full. You can either, things like this can either make you bitter or better. And the new normal, you know, you really just have to embrace it, because so much can happen. So much can occur. So much change in you, good change, can take place if you just allow this to move you, because God is in control. He is in charge. And, you know, he's not going to make it have an unhappy ending. You know, I know some of you, it just feels like there's no happiness in this. There's no good in this. There, no good can come of this. Well, just be patient.
We have got to help so many people that we would have never known about and never met if this had not happened.
Yeah. If you guys had the wrong attitude, you would have just lost it. You know, you would have missed the opportunity, that opportunity that knocks, right?
That's it. And I'm always saying that God has us in training, so now we know how to help others. See, I wouldn't have had a clue of even the little things, you know, that can help caregivers and make their life easier. But now I know. I've had 10 years of training, so I really know.
But in the last few minutes, we have about like 5 minutes to go. Can you just tell us about the movie that you're?
Yes, I believe not about. Only this movie is it's going to be named My Name's Not Timmy, because of all the times that I've heard Trammell say to David, "My name's not Timmy," because David keeps calling him Timmy. And I believe that this movie will help. This movie is going to help save lives, I believe, because of so many teenagers out there taking their lives. This is going to be focused on everything that Trammell has gone through. And still to come out not only well-adjusted, but helping others. You know, it's just, it's the whole story from the time this happened to his dad until now. And I believe that his trip to Peru will be a perfect ending for that, because he's, you know, come full circle, and he is helping those, because these the children in Peru that are in this orphanage are all handicapped. So he is going to be pouring out his heart and helping them to face another day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I believe that once teenagers watch this movie, that whatever little things they're going through won't seem so bad. And if they're thinking about taking their life over petty stuff and things like that, but they need to take a look at what Trammell's gone through and survived. But guys, all things happen for a reason.
All things happen for a reason.
Miss Co-host, you're going to have to take over. We lost Dave.
I can see that. We've lost Dave. I don't know how much time we have left.
Just about 2 minutes.
Okay, well, you and Timmy, you and Trammell.
It's like, my name's not Timmy.
You and Trammell are really quite the duo, and your husband is so fortunate, as is Trammell. You have a great attitude. How can we get in touch with you, or where can we find out more about you?
And we've got a website. It's www.bycefamily.weebly.com. That's B-Y-C-E. Bycefamily.weebly. That's weebly.com.
Okay.
www.bycefamily.weebly.com. And that's got our website. And then you can also send messages through that. And then I'm on Facebook too, at Linda Bice.
Okay. And I just wanted to say there is the first National Caregivers Conference. Finally, they've recognized us. First National Caregivers Conference is taking place in Chicago. That's easy for everybody to get there, but maybe there will be tapes. On December, it starts December 2nd and is all day December 3rd. And I will be there at a round table talking about life after caregiving. And to get in touch with me, people just need to write me at Adrienne, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, at thecaregiverspace.org. And that's the website, thecaregiverspace.org. And visit us on Facebook, all other social media. And I've got to say, you are an absolute inspiration. And so is Trammell. And everyone is so fortunate to have you in their lives.
And Linda, you really need to find out
about you.
Linda, you need to find a way to take a nap.
Thank you. I've never been able to take naps. I always tell Trammell, if you see me sitting down, call 911. If I'm laying down, it's too late.
You and your family are a true inspiration, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Adrienne.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani. Join Dave every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific. Or catch the program anytime, 24/7, right here on Radio Star Worldwide.